ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम सर्वेदांत सार श्रीमद् भागवत कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 17। सदृचिनो यम लोके पंथा क्षेतो कुतो भयः सुशीला साधवो यत्र नारायण परायणः। द पाथ फॉलोड बाय प्योर डिवोटीज हु आर वेल बिहेव्ड एंड फुल्ली एंडोर्ड विद द बेस्ट क्वालिफिकेशंस इज सर्टनली द मोस्ट ऑस्पिशियस पाथ इन दिस मटेरियल वर्ल्ड। इट इज फ्री फ्रॉम फियर एंड इट इज ऑथराइज बाय द शास्त्रास। पर्पट वन शुड नॉट थिंक दैट द पर्सन हु टेक्स टू भक्ति is one who cannot perform the ritualistic ceremonies recommended in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, or is not sufficiently educated to speculate on spiritual subjects. Mayavadi generally allege that the bhakti path is for women and illiterates. This is a groundless accusation. The bhakti path is followed by the most learned scholars, such as the Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, and Ramanujacharya. These are the actual followers of the bhakti path. Regardless of whether or not one is educated or aristocratic, one must follow in their footsteps. Mahajano ena gatasya pantha. One must follow the path of the Mahajanas. The Mahajanas are those who are taken to the path of devotional service. Sushila Sadhavo Yatra Narayana Parayana. For these great personalities are the perfect persons. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasyasi Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Sarvai Gune Tatra Samasita Suraha. One who has unflinching devotion to the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods. The less intelligent, however, misunderstands the bhakti path, and therefore alleges that it is for one who cannot execute ritualistic ceremonies or speculate. As confirmed here by the word sadrichinaha, bhakti is the path that is appropriate, not the paths of karmakanda and jnanakanda. Mayavadis may be Sushila Sadhava, well-behaved saintly persons. Prabhupada is glorifying Mayavadis. Pretty rare to see, huh? But there is nevertheless some doubt about whether they are actually making progress, for they have not accepted the path of bhakti. On the other hand, those who follow the path of acharyas are Sushila and Sadhava. But furthermore, their path is akutobhaya, which means free from fear. One should fearlessly follow the 12 Mahajanas and their line of disciplic succession, and thus be liberated from the clutches of Maya. Here ends Prabhupada's purport. I should keep it here. Keep it here. So, in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, a discussion between Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami, Upakhyan of Ajamila. You know, the glory of bhakti, you know, is the theme. Like Prabhupada says in the purport, that there is a feeling or perception that bhakti is meant for less intelligent people or those who cannot perform other spiritual practices. They could probably take on bhakti. In one sense, it is not fully wrong, in at least my assessment, because bhakti is very simple. No, to do a Jnanakanda section, Uttar Mimamsa, of Vedanta philosophy, one has to be very, you know, learned to appreciate the concepts which Mimamsakas have explained. You know, how can Brahman moves but does not move at the same time? You know, it's very contradictory statements of Shruti to be reconciled in one's consciousness to appreciate the reality of Brahman. Or Shankaracharya's explanation that it is something which cannot be explained. What it is not, we can say. What it is, we cannot say. Such a thing can exist. Comprehension needs, you know, certain level of intellectual situation to reach, read or understand Shankaracharya's commentaries. Or in terms of karmakanda, to perform all the yajñas, to chant the mantras properly, the pronunciation has to be correct. Otherwise, we'll end up in trouble. Like Vrutasura was created to kill Indra, and Indra ended up killing him because when, what's his name? Tvashtra was doing his yajna. I'm out of touch with Bhagavatam. I'm more in touch with law books, unfortunately, and stock market now. So, I just keep forgetting. Please help me if I miss out some things. So, Tvashtra chanted wrongly. And then, instead of creating a personality which would kill Indra in favor of the demons, his chanting was kind of created the person who would be killed by Indra. So, you know, it's not easy. Even the Tvashtra couldn't chant it properly after being trained. So, what to speak of ordinary people? So, generally, this perception, and it is good for us to be humble. You know, we can't make it, so we are doing this. But that is not, that's maybe applicable to many of us, but not to bhakti. It is not that because bhakti is lower than jnana and karma, people who cannot do that, those paths, they take on bhakti. It's the greatness of bhakti. It's the fullest extent of his glory. And it is so wonderful that although it is far, far superior to any other process, at the same time, its superiority is such it's accessible to even not so educated, not so people with, not endowed with these qualifications. That's the greatness. Just like a great king is not just because he is inaccessible to, you know, that's not his greatness, not to be inaccessible to ordinary citizens, only to intellectuals or only to, you know, big people. His greatness is he's so great in terms of his intelligence, in terms of his chivalrous qualities or his, but at the same time, he's accessible to the, you know, to ordinary citizens. That's the glory of the king. That's the glory of, you know, the monarch, and that makes him superior to others who may have other qualities but lacking this quality of accessibility to ordinary citizens. Lord Ramachandra was accessible to any citizen. Even the dog came and complained about a Brahmin, and he was given justice by Lord Ramachandra, although he was the greatest king. So his accessibility to dog doesn't make him inferior. It makes him still superior. Similarly, the bhakti's accessibility to people who are not endowed with the qualities which you need in order to execute the path of karmakanda or jnanakanda doesn't make bhakti inferior. It makes bhakti still superior and shows its greatness. So, that's the one aspect, you know, we could look at it. Other aspect of bhakti, all the Prabhupada here, some of the glorifies are Mayavadis. But to quote Narottam Das Thakur, ಜ್ಞಾನಕಾಂಡ ಕರ್ಮಕಾಂಡ ಜ್ಞಾನಕಾಂಡ ಸಕಲ ವಿಷರ ಭಾಂಡ ಹಿ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಪಾಯ್ಸನ್ ಐ ಹರ್ಡ್ ಅ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ ಸಿ ನರೋತ್ತಮ ದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಸ್ ನೇಮ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಕಮ್ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಒನ್ ಸಾಧು ಒನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವ್ ಹಿ ಟೋಲ್ಡ್ ಮೀ ನವದ್ವೀಪ್ ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಸಮ್ ವಿದ್ವತ್ ಸಭಾ ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಸಭಾ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ group of people who were vidwan Navadvip was known for learned people for many years many centuries before Lord Chaitanya's time even till I guess 19th century and there were many great learned scholars and they had their association and they used to have once in a year or once in some years a sabha where they invite different big scholars to debate discuss different topics scriptural topics so one such meeting was called conference was there and it's going on for 3-4 days and one you know beggar like person you know with long hair unkempt hair was trying to enter that meeting so the doorkeeper wouldn't allow him you know and chased him out didn't allow him so he tried again it happened And I think probably the chairman or somebody of that meeting saw that this is happening. So he asked him, you know, in one evening after the conference was over, that, you know, sir, you are coming and trying to enter this meeting and getting insulted, basically. The Darwan is chasing you away. But aren't you feeling ashamed? Or why are you coming, trying to come again and again? Once you tried, he didn't allow you, you know. You want to be insulted again and again? I mean, what is the point? And what is the purpose of you are trying to enter this meeting of all the learned scholars? So he told that, he said that you know, many years back, you know, he was working in the government as some officer. And he went to see some sadhu, some Vaishnav. And he asked him, he didn't know anything about spiritual life or anything, so he asked him, I'm hearing this word called Prem Bhakti, Prem Bhakti. What is this Prem Bhakti? Can you explain? So this Vaishnava told him, he said, can you spare two anas? And those days two anas was, he said, yes, I can spare two anas. He said, then go and buy Prem Bhakti Chandrika. Prem Bhakti Chandrika is a book of songs of Narottam Das Thakur. In Bengali it's a Thakur Moshai. Thakur Moshai means Narottam Das Thakur. You buy Thakur Moshai's this book Prem Bhakti Chandrika and read every day and you'll understand what is Prem Bhakti. Since you asked the question, this was his reply. That's all his 2 minutes encounter he had. And then he went and he, you know, somehow he took it seriously, he spent two anas or one ana whatever and bought that small book of Prem Bhakti Chandrika. And he said, since that day I'm reading it because Sadhu told me. And after reading that, you know, my job is gone, everything is gone. Now I have become a, you know, wandering beggar in the streets of Navadvip. Now I saw on your board, Vidvat Sabha, you know, people of knowledge are meeting here. So I wanted to know, is anything more than this is there, you can give me. Because this is only this, reading this Tuana book has given me some kind of understanding knowledge. Do you have anything more than that? Since all the great intelligent pandits are meeting. Anything to offer. So that's why I wanted to go in, that to know something more. And apparently, you know, that person had to admit that there's nothing more they could give than what Narottam Das Thakur had written in those, that two and a book of Prem Bhakti Chandrika. So Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Sakala Visharavand. This is the whole topic of bhakti. It's not at Visharabhanda in terms of you know, in one's absolute sense. It is spiritual practice after all, given in the scripture. Where the Vyasa has written it, it's not written by some mundane personality. But if you compare to bhakti, level of bhakti, you know, it is not significant. It is not, it is actually distasteful. Just like somebody, like right now, Gauranga Prabhu is arranging nice prasadam for me. So, you know, maybe eating simple khichdi may be a little distasteful. Or eating chida, cheap rice. It's very distasteful because, you know, you're getting nice prasadam, you're getting nice sabjis, hot chapatis. So it becomes not so nice because comparatively. But I remember 1986, we had flood in Mayapur. First time I experienced flood in my life. Suddenly it came and all the wood got washed away. It became wet. So for 3 days, we could not cook. You know, we were trying to get some dry wood to cook. And we had to eat only soaked cheap rice, you know, chida. Poha, soaked chida and chola. Chola means chana, chickpeas, soaked chickpeas. That's all was there to survive. So after 3 days, you know, Jayapataka Maharaj was there, his experience. So he got wood from somewhere and we had rice, dal and everything, but no wood to cook, no dry wood. So we cooked khichdi without chilies, without ginger. And that khichdi was so tasty. You know, after 3 days of eating uncooked food, that cooked food, khichdi was so tasty, like nectar. Other time, you know, people would not take khichdi. You know, it's a relative perception. So compared to bhakti, vishara bhanda, kevala vishara bhanda. Karma kanda, jnana kanda, kevala vishara bhanda. So when Thakur Moshe says, it is not that he's arrogantly putting down the followers or the process, but he's comparing it, you know, with process of bhakti. It's a relative comparison. Just like when Das Goswami, Runa Das Goswami, left his father and uncle's palace and reached Jagannath Puri and met Mahaprabhu. You know, he was blessed by Nityananda, so he could get, after many attempts, you know, it's a big story, he attained the feet of Lord Chaitanya at Puri. So Lord Chaitanya called his father and uncle Vishayi. Now it was a very, you know, Vishayi means somebody who is sensuous, interested in sensual enjoyments. Now his father and uncle, they were, you know, devotees, their court, Haridas Thakur would come and honored. They chastised that person who questioned Haridas Thakur's glorification of Naam. What's his name? No, Gopal Chapal. Who said, I'll cut my nose? Chakravarti, yes, Chakravarti again. So they chastised and got him out of their court because he questioned Haridas Thakur's Siddhanta. And they are patronizing many Vaishnavas. So they are called Vishayis. No, why they are Vishayis? They are not Vishayis probably from our point of view. They will be great sadhus. But for Das Goswami and Lord Chaitanya, who would not eat, who wouldn't even beg and take Jagannath's prasad, you know, thinking this is a Vaishyavrutti, Jagannath, Simadare Bhikkha Vaishyarachar. He thought like that in his own mind. Because he had to survive. He was doing Naam, Japa. And once a day he has to eat to keep his body. So he was standing on the doors of the steps of Simadwar. And when the people would see, or pujaris would come out after worshipping the doors of Jagannath. They would see that some Vaishnava is sitting here, probably hungry. So they would offer some prasad. And with that he was surviving. But even that he thought, Simadware Vishavrutti Veshara Achar. This is like a prostitute. Who will give me? He will give, you know, like King that Pingla in Srimad Bhagavatam 11th Canto. She was standing, and as people would walk through her lane, she would say, I'm getting the customer, he's going to come to me. The man would walk, pass away, he's gone. Again, second one. So like that it went, and actually she became despondent. Ashai paramam sukham, ashai paramam dukham, nairasham paramam sukham. You know, Pingala's famous words, which also gave Mahaprabhu a lot of pleasure in his later pastimes. So he thought, that my standing here, Das Goswami thought, and waiting for somebody to give me some prasadam, some food, Simadware Bhikshavruti Vesharaja, it's not good. So from his point of view, yes, probably their visha is, you know. That's that detachment, that kind of renunciation. And for him, probably we are the worst vishayas. You know, getting money from many people who are not necessarily earning the money with, you know, ethics and morality. And that money is, you know, we get some reaction for that. It has to come. Only Krishna can, is not affected by he's a papa with, but everybody else is affected. Yes, we are chanting, we are practicing, so it could counter, but effect will be there. Prakruti kaha ke chhadbe na, as they say, nature will not leave anybody. There's a story. How much time we have? Nine. There is, you know, I heard this story from one Vaishnava. I can't stand by his authenticity, but it's quite a nice story. Many years back in Vrindavan, he was Babaji, one of the Babajis. So he said that Babaji generally are supposed to go and do bhiksha. They, at the house of, as Rupa and Sanatan did, in the house of Brajavasis, and mostly Brahmins. Or at the best, Vaishya, not lower caste, because they're supposed to be living, quote unquote, pious life, observing rules of scripture. So their food is pure, and that food would give them, cleanse your heart, and give your strength to chant Krishna's name. So that's why, Ahara Shuddhi Chitta Shuddhi, as Shastra says, by eating pure food, your consciousness becomes cleansed. But many times, because, you know, generally when there are some renunciations, some spark of spiritual life, people get attracted, they go. Like olden days, this is I heard one class of Radha Govinda Maharaj, he was telling that generally sadhu goes and it goes and does some tapascharya. In olden times, Brahma and Shiva used to come to bless them, give them some work. In Kali Yuga, Brahma and Shiva does not come. But he said the sets from Bombay definitely come. And bless the sadhu, you know, with some ashram, some mutt, or, you know. And then everything starts happening. So, you know, so when the is a little bhakti, and then in Radha Kund, mostly Bengali babus come and they give bhandara. Nice sweets, this, that whole month of Kartik, Niyam Mas, you know, every day there is a bhandara. And in, sometimes there are three or four bhandaras. And then, you know, people go to, many babajis go and collect Lakshmi, they get pranami. And some of them have made a good bank balance. And so, babaji are supposed to eat, you know, as Rupa and Sanatan did. Rupa Goswami built a temple of Govindaji when, you know, king came and offered him service. But he stayed in a hut and he ate his madhukari, roti. So, he was telling me a story that how the food affects. So he said, there was one prostitute in somewhere in Bengal. And, you know, she was very rich because she made a lot of money. She was very beautiful and entertaining, good. So once in front of her house, one Sankirtan, you know, went chanting Krishna's name. And suddenly she felt very attracted to this Sankirtan process. And she got down from her house and she walked behind this Sankirtan and she started chanting, you know, following it, and became extremely attracted. And after the end of this Sankirtan, she went to the leader who was leading, and she fell at his feet and told him that, look, I am, you know, degraded person, I am prostitute, I have a lot of money, but I want to do some service, and I am very attracted to this chanting of Krishna's name. So he said, you are very fortunate, but I can't engage you and I can't take your money, because, you know, your money is earned in a very, immoral way. So please you go and chant Krishna's name and that will help you. He didn't want to take any help. So she went back, she chanted. After a few days, she again approached him. And she kept insisting that I got so much wealth, you know, you take my, you know, do something. So he, after long, you know, persuasion, he said, okay, what you do? He said, I can't accept, but Lord Govinda can accept. So you take all your money, convert it into ornaments and offer to Lord Govinda. Go to Vrindavan. So she thought very good. No, she was very happy, you know. She went to Vrindavan, you know, and went to Govindaji temple. And she approached the pujari. And pujari told her, no, you prostitute, I can't take your ornaments and offer to Govinda. No, your money we can't, you know, he's most pure, we can only take, you know, sorry. You can take darshan, take some prasad, but I can't accept. So she felt very broken hearted. She went crying in the banks of Yamuna. See, I came all the way here. That sadhu told me to do service. I want to do this service. I want to use this money. And the pujari is not accepting. Night time, Govindaji came in the dream of this pujari and just said, hey, you rascal, who are you to stop her from serving me? You go and, you know, get her. Not only she will make ornaments, she'll personally put it on my body. So he felt very ashamed that he offended her. So he didn't realize it. So he went and he begged her apology. You know, he woke her up. She found her out and said, sorry, I didn't realize you are such an advanced devotee. Govindaji is very upset. You please do whatever service you want. So she became very happy. Oh, you know, after all the efforts and humiliation she went through, Krishna accepted her service. And, you know, she said, oh, I will, you know, give this service. And also there will be, I'll give bhandara, you know, a feast for all the sadhus. And news spread and, you know, that Govindaji has done this. So all the Babaji's and everybody came for the feast. So she did that, she did the service. And feast was served. And all of sadhus came and they had prasadam. And, you know, some sadhus experienced nightfall, you know, next day. So some of them started, you know, wondering why it happened to them. You know, many of them were very strict brahmacharis, you know, maintaining their brahmacharya. Why it happened? And so few of them concluded that it must be because they ate that prostitute's food, you know, instead of eating their madhukari. And then we did it because Govindaji, you know, told pujari and he accepted the service. So I think one of them was very upset and he said, well, I'm not going to, you know, keep life. I'm going to drown myself in Yamuna because all my vows were broken because of this. And responsibility lies with Govindaji because he did this. So he, you know, fasted for a few days and then he was going to drown, you know, jump in Yamuna. So Govindaji came in his dream, and he told him that, you know, why are you doing this? He said, because, you know, my vows were broken. And he said, because of you, you accepted the service. He said, yes, I accepted, but I didn't tell you to accept. See, I can accept. Who told you to accept? You are a Babaji, you go and eat a madhukari. And you do your bhajan. Who told you to come and eat this food? And why are you blaming it on me? You did a mistake of, you know, wavering from your path of, you know, of your renunciation. And you are now blaming it on me because I accepted her service. I accepted, yes, but I didn't tell you to accept. So yes, he understood, yes, that's a mistake. You know, you, within your boundaries, you go. So yes, so depending on the, you know, so similarly here, for Das Goswami to accept money from his uncle and father, who were devotees, you know, from normal point of view, and eating food, what he was doing actually, Das Goswami, he was out of 80 or 90 gold coins his uncle sent him, he wouldn't take once a month, and 100th part of it. To do what? To buy some Mahaprasad and feed Lord Chaitanya. That's all. He was not even eating every day. But that he thought as not correct. It's not Vishayiran. And when he told Lord Chaitanya, yeah, you know, when Sarudamudra told Lord Chaitanya that this is, that Das Raghunath thought that you are not very happy because he's, you know, getting you Vishayi, you know, money from the Vishay, his uncle and father. Vishay Ranna Khaile Malin Hai Man, Malin Mani Nahe Krishna Rasmaran. Mahaprabhu was happy. So for his point of view, yes, you know, from that level of purity, yes, it was probably correct to say it's Vishay. We can't call Hiranya Mujumdar and Govardhan Mujumdar Vishay. You know, definitely they were advanced devotees. So it's a question of how, you know, from which point of view you look. Whether that level of purity, that level of surrender, there are different levels of surrender. You know, chanting 16 rounds, you know, following four principles, it's a step of surrender. And we can say it's a surrender. But yes, that's not, you know, there are a lot more things, you know, and that's very simple part of bhakti. Yeah, just chant Hare Krishna, you know, nothing that will give you. So yes, it's simple. But as we grow, as we start practicing, then we find there are many obstacles, many other problems. We start standing on our face, questioning our, you know, our commitments, our sincerity, our hypocrisies, you know, and they need to be removed in order to make our level of purity which we follow. And then we find, yes, you know, we may be chanting 16 rounds and following four principles. Yeah, but that's again, sabhakta prakruta smuta. It's still a prakruta bhakti. It is not really a pure devotional service. The desires are there, whether it's gross or subtle, which tend to obfuscate or hinder. And yes, at one stage, those chanting 16 rounds and following principle was considered to be a very good standard. But it becomes, yes, from that point of view, yes, that's good, but probably there is much more, you know. For Mahaprabhu won't even accept food from us. He told, unless you're Lakhpati, I will not accept food. So from that point of view, 16 rounds is 25% qualification. And from Das Goswami's food left by cows was more nectarian than probably prasad sent by Pratap, Maharaj Pratap Rudra. So again, there's a level, you know, level from where it's looked at. So when Prabhupada says Sushila Sadhava, I think he's looking at a normal point of view. When he looks at bhakti point of view, they're not Sushila Sadhavas. So it's a question of looking at Gyanakanda, Karmakanda, when these processes are criticized or belittled by Vaishnava Acharyas, it is not that they are chauvinist, you know, and trying to make their path big or greater. They're just looking at it from that point of view. If you look at bhakti as, you know, something which can bind Krishna. Jnana and Kanda, Karma Kanda can, it's okay, because Krishna has given this in the scripture, by doing it you'll get some result, atonement, cleansing of process and things like that. But bhakti can bind Krishna. It's the glories of bhakti. Ajitopi jitostha shlokyam. The first stage, when Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, they were discussing, after saying, yo bhaiya, yo bhaiya, yo bhaiya, the first thing we accept, you know, that was that verse? Sane sitam shrutikatam tanuvang manobhi. What is the first line? Jnane prayasa mudapasya namante eva jivanti sambhukata bodhiya vartam. Sane sitam shrutikatam tanuvang manobhi. Sane sitam, one place, shrutikatam tanuvang manobhi. Just hearing. Jitopi aista istilokya. Ajita, one is unconquerable, is conquered. Nasafu yo hai. Accepting. Okay. Aage ko aur. Something is more. This is where it begins. All other things Lord Chaitanya is rejecting. Eva bhajya. Even sarvadharmam paritejyam he is rejecting. Giving up all, so what? Big deal. This is what Lord Chaitanya. Sardharmam Pratyajam. So, yes, but giving up and coming to Krishna is itself a great achievement. Accepting Krishna. Bhakta jadi kahe ek baar, there is some shloka in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna, I am yours. Krishna accepts it. And is considered, same Lord Chaitanya somewhere else said, one who chants Krishna's name even once, he is Vaishnava. So again, you know, what adhikar vichar, from what perspective is looking at. So, when we look at the bhakti, generally bhakti means prem bhakti. You can see on that verse where in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapil Muni, Sata Prasangan Mobhirya Samvido, Vamanti Rutkana Rasayani Katha Tajoshana Ashapa Vargavartmani, Shraddha Rati Bhakti Ranukramishati. This is basically the verse which Rupa Goswami expands and divides bhakti into sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prem bhakti. Shraddha Ratir Bhakti Anukramishati. Anukramishati, anukram, as you gradually progress. So their word bhakti explains as prem bhakti. Shraddha Ratir Bhakti. Rati means bhava, he says. Shraddha is the beginning stage. Rati means bhava bhakti. So he uses word rati and bhava as, you know, as synonyms. And the word bhakti says as prem bhakti. So many times bhakti means prem bhakti. Which is what we are trying to achieve. For devotees, the beginning is bhakti, middle is bhakti, end is bhakti. Just like example is in Rupa Goswami, when one performs yajna, you have to purify the place. For purifying the place, you take plow, nangar, and then, you know, you have to put water purification. Then you set up your yajna kunda. These are all pratham, first. They are not, strictly speaking, part of yajna. But yes, there are. Because without that, you can't start a yajna. So they are considered part of yajna. Similarly, all the initial stage of sadhana bhakti is also considered bhakti because it is where you begin. But strictly speaking, it is not. Generally, bhakti word refers to prem bhakti, which binds Krishna. Because every time you can see the glories of bhaktis are given, the reference is to prem bhakti or rati, at the least. So whenever karma kanda, jnana kanda and others are belittled or criticized or given, called names, it is generally spoken from that level of devotional service. From our point of view, yes, you know, it's, although we keep away, we are respectful. Because, as the Prabhupada here is respectful, Sushila Sadhava is saying, in initial stage, because yes, definitely, it's a scriptural, but since it's a distraction, and ultimately, we want to perform, what Rupa Goswami says, Jnana Karmadi Anavruttam. At least it should be Anavruttam, if not completely free. But once you accept it, then along with that comes coverings, dependence. So keep away, initial stage. But ultimately, you know, from Prem Bhakti point of view, it is Kevala Vishara Bhanda. So here we can see as progressively Shukamuni will explain bhaktis, glories, and slowly, slowly Karmakanda and Jnanakanda will be little more and more, more and more as the chapter progresses. I think 9:10, I overshot by 10 minutes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. I think can we take some questions or we can? Any questions or comments? Yeah, problem. Well, I'm not Das Goswami. I'll have some prasad.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. when we hear about the standards, that according to the higher point of view, the lower points become very disgustable. So, like you say that different levels of bhakti. So sometimes when we hear such thing, we become kind of discouraged and depressed. That like the stages of bhakti, shraddha, anartha nivritti, all these things go higher and higher. And also, so if these things has to happen gradually, it looks like hundreds of lifetime. At the same time, Prabhupada says that if you follow the simple principle, bhakti is simple, you can go back to God within this one lifetime. So, which means if somebody want to go to in this lifetime, these things happens gradually, or Krishna can cancel some stages and directly take over.
Krishna can do anything. Devotee can do anything. Well, I don't have personal experience, so I can't tell you how it happens. I can tell you from what scriptures say. See, bhakti is not something made-believe theory. It's an experience. We are here to see Krishna face to face. That's what Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says. At stage, you'll shake hands with Krishna, or you'll personally see him. And that should be our aspiration. It can happen this lifetime, a time of death, next lifetime, I can't say. But it should happen. And it must happen. Death is nothing but, a progress. You are migrating from one body to another body. So death is another migration. It's not something different. Yes, in a sense, from external point of view, but internal point of view, it's just a transmission from one body to another body, which we are already doing it. But it's not that only at a time of death it will happen automatically. This sounds a little far-fetched to me. Maybe I'm wrong. Sadhana ekhane, siddhiyo ekhane, bhavera gochara se, ekhane se jodi na dekhite pari, morile dekhibe ke. Some Vaishnava has written. Your sadhana ekhane, your sadhana is in this siddhi ekhane. Perfection also is this lifetime. Bhavera gochara se. When you have developed bhava bhakti, Krishna becomes approachable. Ekhane se jodi na dekhite pari. If you cannot see now, marile dekhibe, who will see after your death? So what he's saying is that it is something to be realized, experience. All the scriptural quotes are not some quotes to be, to be quoted in the class to get claps and appreciation. They are to be realized in our life. That's also good. People hear and get purified. As long as we don't get puffed up. See, thinking I'm such a great scholar or great sadhu that everybody is appreciating my knowledge of scripture. That's detriment. But ultimately those have to be lived and experienced. But we can't jump suddenly and do something which is artificial. Or basically artificial is done in order to get some cheap adoration from people. We have to be fundamentally honest and truthful about ourselves, about everything. And see how we can grow. Anarthas will come, pitfalls will be there. That's part of life. And everywhere. In the outside world also, you attempt to do and get a good job. You fail one interview, second interview, third interview. You don't get discouraged. You keep doing it. You need it to maintain your family. So why should we, to get some stupid job for 20 years to earn some, why do you expect that bhakti will come automatically? Such a precious thing. When scripture says Lord Shiva, Brahma, everybody is, praying for it. It's not something, make-believe real story. It's a reality. Uddhava says, I want dust of the feet of Rajavasis. It is not something he's, saying something to, make Vajavasis feel good or, he means it, he feels it. So it is not something, so Uddhava thinks like this, if Brahma and Shiva thinks, why we think that we will get it, It has to be, you have to pay the price. Prabhupada might have has made things simpler, yes, but we have to practice it. Things are simple, but are we simple? That's another question. Just chant Hare Krishna and surrender. Saying about surrender is very easy. You know, it's very difficult. Many issues. Very difficult to digest that you've done something wrong. Many, very difficult to give up defending yourself. When you are convinced you are right, and although your defense may make few people appreciate you or may not even that happen, but still, you know, personal experience, I can tell you from personal experience, to give up desire to defend and establish that you are right, which ultimately have not much value, it's so difficult to give up. It burns your heart. So what to speak of other attachments in life? Obligations in life. To be neutral is so difficult. Bhishma couldn't do it. What to speak of us in the courts of Kurus? Draupadi was, he was obliged to Duryodhan, taking royal patronage. So we are obliged in the society to different people, to different internally, externally. Moral obligations are there. We can't even act neutrally. Chanakya stayed in a hut, didn't take any patronage from who's that? Chandragupta. So he could be neutral and speak what he thought right. So it's appreciated, yes, great quality. Because it compromises you. And that to that extent we are all compromised. You know, we need 2 square meals a day. Right? We need a fan to sleep under, probably. Mosquito net. You know, little basic. It may be a great austerity from the point of view of somebody staying in an air-conditioned house or, having. But from a, look at a bigger point of view. What? We are having much better lifestyle than they have. So what renunciation we have? Not much from his point of view. From Das Goswami's point of view, nothing. He was taking in the end only little matta. And that also you would forget. So eating vegetarian food offered to Krishna twice a day or now thrice probably. Here thrice or twice here? Thrice. Kolkata also we started thrice because I was suffering as a brahmachari night time not having prasad. So we started 3 times a guaranteed meal. Not many people have that luxury. So then we need certain facilities. To that extent we compromise. We need funds to come from people. So we accept our funds. We can't become like Das Goswami and say, we will not accept Vishayaranna. We can't survive, then we will not be able to, practice what. So we are dovetailing. It's dovetailing our tendencies. But today, tomorrow, day after, next lifetime, 10 lifetimes down the line, that detachment, that experience has to come. It's not that Das Goswami was detached for sake of detachment, it was natural. It came naturally to him because absorption in Krishna was so deep. They had no time. Like when Rupa Goswami left, he became so despondent or so broken-hearted. He couldn't sleep or eat for days. Out of separation from Krishna. Like one Vaishnava was saying that whenever he went to sleep on his bed, his gaddi, he would remember Mahaprabhu. Gambira bhitare nai ratri nidra lao. He couldn't sleep. Even on the floor, Mahaprabhu couldn't sleep. For the last 12 years of his life. Chitte mukhe sara gashe khata hoya sab. He was rubbing his face on the wall, bleeding. And when Jagadananda Pandit made a bed and got some nice oil, he said, he wants to, Jagadananda chaya amar vishay bhunjaite. He wants to give me vishayas. And rejected that bed. So this Sadhu Vaishnava was telling, he wrote, he felt guilty sleeping on a bed because my Lord couldn't sleep on the bed. But he couldn't sleep on the floor, he never slept on his floor. That's good, that's purifying. So while Mahaprabhu rubbed his face, we can't go and rub our face. He didn't rub his face to rub, for sake of rubbing. Out of tremendous separation he felt from Krishna. It was a natural behavior. So it's not that Das Goswami was doing it for the sake of, you know, showing to the people or, you know, setting a standard. Or he did it out of his tremendous separation he felt from Krishna. And some of them did not even exhibit that separation. Like Rupa Goswami, he wrote books, but he, you know, extremely self-controlled. Never exhibited any of his symptoms of separation or symptoms of ecstasy. Although he wrote about it elaborately in Ujjwal Nilamani and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, described them. The point, some people thought that he's just a, you know, scholar. In his lifestyle, he strictly followed what Narottam Das Thakur said. Apanam bhajana katha na bolibe yathatatha iyate hoibe savadhan. Your bhajan, it is not public domain. It will bring cheap following, cheap appreciation, and you lose. So Rupa Goswami never showed. To the extent somebody said, what is this sadhu is, you know, Lord Chaitanya exhibited, of course, is Krishna. There's one story I heard about Rupa Goswami that, you know, he used to sit and chant, and his kutir used to be, door used to be closed. One day it was open, happened to be open, and he used to write his books. So once somebody was passing by his bhajan kutir, and his nishwas, you know, what nishwas you say in English? Anyway, I don't know what English word is. Exhaling. But at nishwas, you know, like deep. Sigh. Probably that's the right word. Deep one. The person was walking by, one Vaishnava was walking by, the hair on his hand burned. It was such a, you know, he was feeling such a separation from Krishna that his nishwas was so hot. But Rupa Goswami never exhibited that. Never, you know, you never see him rolling on the ground or there's no such records. Extremely self-controlled in his, that's our example. We don't, you know, or we follow Rupa and Sanatan. That's our, you know, they set example for everybody to follow. That is not meant for, and the Sergias took other roles. You know, they started exhibiting the, you know, Bhavashana, you know, that you see many times. You know, tears, you know, coming out. And it became very cheap. So similarly, Prabhupada also never exhibited. You know, very rarely, once or twice, uncontrollably it came. Because he's following his Guru Maharaj and Rupa and Sanatan, who did not exhibit such symptoms, nor did they discuss about it, you know, in open assemblies. That doesn't mean they didn't go through it. That is your own personal realization. We have to aspire for it, not imitate. But slowly, as Rupa Goswami has taught us and further commented by the Acharyas like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Prabhupada subsequently, we have to go from Shraddha to Bhava to Prem. That process has to go. There could be hindrances, there could be experiences both ways, sometimes good, sometimes setbacks. But that's the part of, you know, sadhana. And that is described also in Shastra. How you'll feel both ways, let down, you know, up, down. That's a part of it. Not get discouraged. And if you get discouraged, what else we can do? Go back, right? We don't have much choice. That's the only way we can, you know, achieve something in this world. Otherwise, going into the cycles, birth and death, and so-called enjoyment, which is not an enjoyment as we know very clearly now. So we have no choice but to practice Krishna consciousness, bhakti, as per directions and descriptions of scriptures, and pray. Now there are other people who say, and maybe they're right, I can't, who am I to, that sometime maybe whatever you do, if you do that at the time of death, probably things do happen. And there are some recordings of some devotees in part of their life that apparently there was some experience like that. So there's a possibility. So I mean, I can't really say you'll have a quantum jump suddenly, you know, from Shraddha state to Prema at a time of death. I mean, anything can happen. Ultimately, bhakti is independent. Krishna is independent. He's not bound by, you know, any rules. It could happen, but like Prabhupada said, we should not depend on somebody may get PhD by honorary, you know, Rabindranath Tagore got without going to college or school. He got PhD. But we can't expect that to happen. You know, naturally, generally, we should go do your BA, MA, write your thesis, get your PhD, if you want PhD. But you may have a situation where people will come to your house and, you know, give you PhDs, queue up in front of your door to give you up. But that's rare. So yes, it could happen. No, Krishna may bless you. Even you can see here this Ajamil. All the Vishnudas came, he had to go to Haridwar and perform. You know, no quantum jump was given. So that's another scriptural reference here, right? The story. But it could be, you know, that some people may get quantum jump. We don't know. It could happen. And Prabhupada has promised, so if you chant 16 rounds, again, what is chanting? The hundreds in the levels of variety of chanting. If you stay in ISKCON, oh, stay in ISKCON means what? Physically stay in ISKCON? Mentally stay in ISKCON? Hundreds of, I remember once, you know, way back in 85, Sridhar Maharaj, when devotee was there, you know, we were going and he was trying to push us to join. 84, 83 probably. We're not sure, we want to join ISKCON, you know. So we were a group of us and Sridhar Maharaj, you know, Jew Sridhar Maharaj. So he was telling one of us, he said, look, there are only two things you can do in life. Either you can forget Krishna or you can remember Krishna. So why don't you join ISKCON? If you want to remember Krishna, we have all facilities for you to remember Krishna. And if you want to forget Krishna, we have all facilities for you to forget Krishna. So what's your problem? Just join us. So it's like this, you know. Be in ISKCON, chant 16 rounds. Yeah. It's a question of, you know, ultimately your consciousness. Your consciousness will dictate where our consciousness is taking us, where we want to go. We could be, you know, in the midst of, like it says, in, I think Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes that the stage of asakti. One may be in the midst of material things, but his mind, without his knowledge, is gone, thinking of Krishna. He doesn't know how, when, and, you know, even if he doesn't want, it is gone, uncontrollably. What is that shloka? That's that song. Kata nivare pat nivarana jaye, anya pat dhai pat kanupate dhai. This is probably Chandidas or somebody has written. Radharani is, she's saying, I want to forget this fellow. I don't want to go where he is. But I'm trying to stop myself. But I don't know, my legs are not listening to me. They just drag me to him. More jiva ki hoila ki vam. Jan naam na levu laitar naam. My tongue has become vam, crooked. I tell not to take his name. But he keeps chanting his name. This is asakti stage. Exactly opposite happens when we are in the material asakti stage. In the midst of kirtan, our mind goes to some material thing without our knowledge. And we are, what is happening? Suddenly I'm thinking of, you know, Umesh Banerjee or some judge or something like that. I'm telling my experience. Something like that happens to you. You don't know. In the middle of kirtan, mind is gone. You drag it back. So, but that stage, exactly opposite happens. If you try to engage in material activities, the Lord Chaitanya says, when he was very, you know, towards last part of his life, he was tired, you know, because of feeling such a great separation. This is suffering, in one sense. Like Kaviraj Goswami, sapta ikhu charvani. Kaviraj Goswami says, this Krishna Prem is like eating hot sugar cane. Mukha jole tejanana jaye. When you eat, it burns your tongue, but you can't give up. Krishna Prem is something like that. You know, it burns you. Like Mahaprabhu was, you know, in one sense extremely suffering. So he said, what to do? So he remembered this Pingala's. This Pingala Vachana Vachana Smriti Firailo Prabhurmati. Kaviraj Goswami describes. Remember Pingala. Ashai Paramam Dukkham Nairasham Paramam Sukham. So best way to become happy. Dekhi ei upaye Krishna Asha Chhadi Diye. Asha Chhadi Sukhi Hoya Man. Mahaprabhu thought. Dekhi ei upaye. Let me see. This may work. Krishna Asha Chhadi Diye. Let me give up hope for Krishna. Asha Chhade Sukhi Hoya Man. Maybe I'll become happy. The next verse I forget. I used to remember. Next verse. Anyway, he says then, moment he said, dekhi ei upaye Krishna asha chhadi diye. Asha chhadi sukhi hoye man. So he said, Krishna asha chhadi. Let me give up asha for Krishna. Moment that Krishna came, immediately he remembered Krishna. Chitte tar hoyla spurti. Immediately he manifests in his heart. And he said, what to do? How to get rid of this guy? He's telling, how to get rid of him from my heart? I don't know what to do. You know, evairi nade pasharite. Chittatar hoilo spurti. I forgot, somewhere in the end chapter. He says that I can't get him out of my heart. I'm trying to. Dekhi evairi pasharite. Vairi, this enemy of mine is not leaving my heart and not letting me live my peaceful life. This is exactly in opposite. When you are trying to become Krishna conscious, initial stage, the vairi of material world will come in the heart even if you try to take it out. It forces itself. And we have to take him out. But stage will come where even if you want to forget Krishna, you can't. And that's our, you know, that's the goal we are trying to reach. Anyway, I think I did answer your question. So, somewhat, yeah. So it can happen. Yes, your quantum jumps can happen. But I think we must practice what Rupa Goswami has given. And if you are finding hindrances, we should try and remove them. Take help of devotees in whom we have faith in. Sajatiya, what Rupa Goswami says about association. Sajatiya Vishadashe Snigdha. What is that? Swasatovaret. What is that? Verse Sajatiya Snigdha Matra. Like that, he has given some person who is Sajatiya, whom you have faith in, who is of similar nature, whom you can reveal in confidence, and take such person's help for growth. But ultimately, the mercy of Vaishnavas, their blessings will help us. I think I overshot too much. Sorry, my apologies. Hare Krishna. Great class. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai.